chapter 28, chapter entitled Puranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life, text number 61. Maya yesha maya srishtha yat punmam sam striyam satim manyaseno bayam yadvai hamso pasya vayorgatim. Translation: sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The factual position of both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity is qualitatively one. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Spirit, the Super Soul, and the living entity is the individual Spirit Soul. Even though both of them are original spiritual identities, the living entity forgets his identity when he comes in contact with material nature and becomes conditioned. At such a time, he identifies himself as a product of the material nature. Because of the material body, he forgets that he is the eternal, sanatana, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in this way: mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The word sanatana is found in several places in Bhagavad Gita. Both the Lord and the living entity are sanatana, eternal. And there is also a place known as sanatana, beyond the material nature. The real residence of both the living entity and God is the domain of sanatana, not this material world. The material world is the temporary external energy of the Lord, and the living entity is placed in this material world because he wanted to imitate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, he tries to enjoy his senses to his best capacity. All the activities of the conditioned soul within this material world are perpetually taking place in different types of bodies. But when the living entity acquires developed consciousness, he should try to rectify his situation and again become a member of the spiritual world. The process by which one can return home back to Godhead is Bhakti Yoga, sometimes called Sanatana Dharma. Instead of accepting a temporary occupational duty based on the material body, one should take to the process of Sanatana Dharma or Bhakti Yoga so that he can put an end to this perpetual bondage in material bodies and once again return home back to Godhead. As long as human society works on the basis of false material identification, all the so-called advancement of science and philosophy are simply useless. They only serve to mislead human society. Andha etandar upaniyamana. In the material world, the blind simply lead the blind. Hare Krishna. There is one Hindi lecture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada makes one statement in that, which is very interesting. He is saying, कोई भी व्यक्ति बुरा नहीं होना चाहता, पर प्रकृति सबको चुपचाप बुरा बना देती है. Powerful statement actually. Chupchap, quietly, the material nature crushes a living entity. And this point is very expertly narrated by the expert preacher Narad Muni to King Prachini Barishat through the allegorical narration of King Puranjan. He explains how King Puranjan is completely absorbed in bodily identification and sense gratification to the extent that when he is leaving his body, he remembers, he meditates on his wife. So naturally in the next birth, he gets a woman's body, Vaidarbhi. And now Vaidarbhi is married to King Malhaya Dhwaja, and she faithfully serves him. And after Malayadvaja leaves his body, Vaidarbhi is plunged in an ocean of lamentation. At this juncture, a Brahmana arrives on the scene. Now, this Brahmana is a representative of the super soul, who explains to Vaidarbhi how she is foolish in trying to enjoy this material world. The Brahmana explains to her, we saw in the previous verses, how one should give up this enjoying mentality and understand his relationship with the super soul, with Krishna, and acknowledge that everything happens because of the will of Krishna. And this point is strikingly written by Prabhupada in this purport also. In today's purport also, Prabhupada is writing the same point, that as long as the living entity identifies himself as a product of the material nature, he forgets his relationship with Krishna. And then later on also Prabhupada writes that we are suffering because we are trying to imitate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see that in this material world, a living entity is wandering through different bodies. And he goes on adding a list of achievements to his credit. Little does he realize that actually it is Krishna who is there, sanctioning everything. And if he withdraws his potency, his mercy, then we can't do anything. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna calls such a person as Vimuda. Ahankara iti yamme, what is that? Ahankara Vimuda atma kartaham iti manyate. So, Muda means a foolish person. Krishna calls him Vimuda. Vimuda means a special fool. One who thinks he is the doer. One who refuses to accept Krishna's sanctioning. And this particular concept, this theme is very vividly described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Arjuna is returning from Dwarka and is coming back to Hastinapur. In that entire section, Prabhupada writes beautiful purports and he explains this, how we should understand Krishna's intervention in our lives. And more importantly, we should surrender and take shelter of Krishna. The story begins with Arjuna having not returned from Dwarka despite 6-7 months having passed. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is in a lot of anxiety. He turns to Bhima and he tells him that do you see that there are so many inauspicious signs? Yudhishthira Maharaj begins to see that suddenly people are becoming greedy. People are becoming deceitful. They are adopting foul means of livelihood. There is cheating, misunderstanding, even amongst close family members. So all these things, Yudhishthira Maharaj feels, could not have existed if Krishna was actually present. So he starts suspecting. Probably, Krishna has left the world. And this is very, very indicative of the fact that when the civilization gets disconnected from loving devotional service to Krishna, these kind of symptoms become rampant in the society. And Prabhupada explains in the purports, why there is greed, why there is cheating in the society. He says, why does greed exist? Greed exists because a person thinks that this earthly life which we have of a few years, this is all in all. And it doesn't have an understanding that there is a higher objective in life. When this is not there, there has to be greed. And why is there cheating? Cheating again is because of the living entity's unnatural desire to lord over material nature. So Prabhupada writes there that a living entity, even if he becomes the lord of all that he service, even then he will never be satisfied. And then Prabhupada writes, anyway, he never becomes the lord of all that he service. It's not possible. But this is very important, very significant, that when we forget our relationship with Krishna, we become victims of these kind of anarthas. And now, Yudhishthira Maharaj turns to Bhima and is strongly suspecting Krishna has left this world, And suspecting like this, he remembers Krishna's mercy on him. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is overflowing with gratitude. So he tells Bhima, Yasmanna sampado rajyam dara prana kulam praja asan sapatna vijayo lokascha yadanugrahat. He says, my dear Bhima, Yasmanna sampado rajyam, this rajya, this kingdom we have got, it is not by chance. Dara prana kulam praja, the dara, the wives we have got, prana, our lifespan, kulam, the dynasty that we have got, loyal subjects, praja, asan sapatna vijayo, how do you think we have conquered over all our enemies? This is not by some chance. Lokas, we have been assured of higher destination. How are all these things taking place? He says, Lokas chayad anugrahat, anugrahat, because of Krishna's anugraha, because of Krishna's mercy, we are getting all these things. Now it's amazing that we have somebody like, in this world today, somebody like Bill Gates, for example, who owns a few billion dollars and is considered to be the richest man in this planet, and he says, I'm a self-made man. And we have Maharaj Yudhishthira here in this episode, who is actually the emperor of the whole planet, and he is attributing everything to Krishna. He is saying everything is happening because of Krishna's mercy, Krishna's anugraha. Like we might distribute a few books, or we might sing very nice kirtans, or we might make a few people devotees, and we might think that we are actually doing it, we are actually doing nice work, nice service. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, being a pure devotee, recognizes that it is Krishna who is empowering and Krishna who is actually sanctioning all these activities. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very powerful example. He says, some people say, we don't need Krishna's sanction. If that is the case, then why is it that sometimes a person is perfectly healthy, but a medical practitioner, despite his best efforts, he helplessly sees this person dying. And sometimes a person is a gone case, but miraculously he survives. So this proves that there is some force which is beyond us, beyond the living entity. I remember once His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu told me about one of his uncles who went for a complete medical checkup, complete day, morning to evening, and he had taken his friend along with him. So this friend, the medical checkup said that he is perfectly healthy, no problems at all. And next morning, this man died of a cardiac arrest. The very next morning. So what is happening right now within our body, we don't know. So factors are beyond our control. I remember one point that His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said in a recent lecture. He said it's actually a joke. That it's a tiny living entity who is crawling on an insignificant planet and is thinking, I am great. I'm the controller. Everything is within my control. Of course, some people, they very proudly claim that science and technology has advanced so much. We have done so many things. Prabhupada would never be impressed. Prabhupada had a very nice definition for advancement of material civilization. Prabhupada would say, what is this advancement of material civilization? This advancement simply means advancement of reactions of material nature. That's all. It's a very, very, very pertinent point. Like one devotee was mentioning, that if you compare science and technology's advancement, you realize that the process of birth has remained the same over the millions of years. The child is born through the womb. But thanks to science and technology, the process of death has changed so much. There are so many unique ways of dying now, which was unheard of a few centuries ago. Like one person in the neighborhood, I remember a few years ago, he was doing mop cleaning of his house, and he got up to mop the ceiling and the fan cut off his head. Very tragic. But somebody comes under a train, or there is an accident. So reactions are increasing. So this is advancement. Prabhupada is very heavy about this. So these undesirables, they are all like forest fire. They burn the heart of the living entity because he's suffering. He is facing the kicks of material nature. So the only hope, therefore, is devotional service to Krishna. Coming back to the story, Yudhishthir Maharaj is feeling that Krishna has left and he observes some obvious signs in the kingdom. He tells Bhima Sen that, "My dear Bhima, do you see that the owls, they are shrieking, jackals are screaming, dogs are barking, and asses are circumambulating me all around. The cows have stopped giving milk, the horses, they are simply weeping in the kingdom. And suddenly look at the sky," he is pointing to the sky and telling Bhima that there is complete darkness even in daytime. There is smoke which is encircling the sky. Wind is blowing very violently all around. And then he says, "How earth, mountains, they are all throbbing. The power of the sun rays have declined. Rivers have all become dry. Butter is not igniting fire." And then he points out how the deities in the temple, they are all crying. "So my dear Bhima, is this an indication of something very extraordinary that is going to happen?" So in this state, he is expressing worry and concern. And at that time, Arjuna comes back. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj sees Arjuna, Arjuna's face, Arjuna's body is convinced that Krishna is no longer there. But he doesn't directly ask Arjuna. He says, "My dear Arjuna, how is Balram? How is Pradyumna? How is Aniruddha? How is Shurasena? How is Vasudev? How are the queens of Dwarka? How are the residents?" He asks all other things. And then he says, "Arjuna, your bodily luster has also gone down. You look very sick. Is something wrong?" Generally for Kshatriyas, they have a lot of valor and they are effulgent. But Arjuna appears to be very forlorn, very weak. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, "Probably someone insulted you. Somebody spoke some unfriendly words. Or being a Kshatriya, you might have failed to give charity, because of which you are feeling very remorseful and sad. Or you must have come in contact with some wrong charactered woman. Or you might have refused to respect a deserving woman." So like that, Yudhishthira Maharaj speculates on various reasons why Arjuna could have been so despondent. And finally, being unable to think of more reasons, he blurts out what is in his heart. Yudhishthira Maharaj says, "Kachit preshtata me natha hridayenatma bandhuna shunyosmi rahito nityam manyasete netanaruk." He says, "Is it that Krishna, who is the most dear person to us, he has left? Shunyosmi rahito nityam." Without Krishna, everything appears to be shunya, void. "Manyasete netanaruk." I can't think of any other reason for you to be so despondent. So having been confronted like this directly, Arjuna now replies. And his tears are gliding down his cheeks. He is completely choked up because he is remembering Krishna. And he remembers all the blessings that Krishna had given to Arjuna. He remembers how Krishna helped him get married to Subhadra, how he had pulled the chariot in the war. So remembering all this, Arjuna, he tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, "Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Ename Pahartam Tejo Deva Vishma Panam Mahat." He says, "Oh my dear king, vanchitoham, I have been deprived of association of Krishna. Harina Bandhurupina, the most dear friend of mine, Krishna, he has left me. And because of this, Ename Pahartam Tejo, my teja, my power has been taken away from me. And this power is so strong that Deva Vishma Panam Mahat, I was able to impress all the demigods. I had created such a great impact with my power, and now that power is gone. So Krishna explains in the Gita, Mama Tejomsha Sambhava. Everything that you are seeing in this world is just a fragmental portion of my energy. So this power, actually when Krishna descends on this earth and he performs his pastimes, he displays unlimited power, unlimited opulences, and he does some extraordinary feats. And when Krishna descends, he also empowers his devotees to do such things, to do great things. And when Krishna's mission is over, by his own sweet will, he might decide to withdraw those powers. That is the discretion of Krishna. And anyway, Prabhupada says in the purport, these powers are not meant for going back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that if endowment of power and withdrawal of powers is possible for a great devotee like Arjuna, then what to speak of ordinary living entities who are simply fixed? What can they do? This reminds me, when we were in school, there were two greatest leaders in this world who had created a sensation. One was the President of America, Ronald Reagan. The other was Lady Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of England. And they were well known for their powerful speeches. And Reagan had a good sense of wit, he would very articulate. But by the power of time, things change so much that today both of them are in a very helpless condition. Just a couple of decades have passed. Margaret Thatcher, one magazine reported, the Sun magazine reported that Margaret Thatcher is actually right now on the verge of madness. She is completely bewildered because all her friends have died, her husband has died, and she is not able to reconcile to the fact that her body is dwindling and she is not a great leader now. And we have President Reagan, who is suffering from Alzheimer's disease. He can't even speak one sentence articulately now. So this is the power of time. This is what happens when Krishna withdraws all the mercy. Therefore Prabhupada writes in the purport that one should not be puffed up for the powers that he borrows from Krishna. So a sensible person should engage those powers which he has been gifted with in the service of Krishna. That is the best way of engaging all that he has acquired. And then Arjuna gives an example to explain what it is like when Krishna is not personally present. He says, Yasyakshana vyogena loko apriya darshana uktena rahito yesha mritaka prochate yatha. He says, without Krishna, even one moment, Yasyakshana vyogena loko apriya darshana, everything has become unfavorable. Everything is useless for me. Uktena rahito yesha. I feel like as if mritaka prochate yata. It is like a dead body. My life is like a dead body now. Just like this body is useless without the spirit soul. Similarly, without Krishna, just like the soul has no, the body has no value without the soul. Similarly, the soul has no value unless it is connected ultimately with Krishna. Therefore, in the ultimate analysis, Prabhupada writes, in the ultimate analysis, Krishna is the summum bonum of everything. So it is Krishna who is the most important vital principle to whom we have to take, of whom we have to take shelter. And now, having said all this, Arjuna displays a wonderful Vaishnava quality of gratitude. He begins to remember how Krishna was the one who did everything for him. He says, it is because of Krishna's mercy that I could pierce the fish target and I could defeat all those lusty princes who had come to get Draupadi's hand. And it is because of Krishna's mercy that I could save Maya Danav from the burning at the Khanda forest. It is because of Krishna that Bhimasen could kill Jarasan and protect so many kings from the Mahabhairav Yagya which Jarasandha was planning. It is only because of Krishna that we were saved from the wrath of Durvas Muni. And it is by the mercy of Krishna that I could defeat Lord Shiva, I could impress Lord Shiva and get Pashupatastra. And I was given a half elevated seat in the heavenly kingdoms. This is not because of my power, it's not because I am a great warrior. I could kill the Nivata Kavacha demon and help Indra, and I got mercy of Indra. I could cross over the entire ocean of Kauravas in the battlefield because of Krishna. Now it is interesting here, Prabhupada writes in one purport in this same section, that generally in war, billions of dollars are spent for espionages, for military tactics and diplomatic maneuvering, all these things. But Pandava's unique position was that they didn't have to worry about any of these things. Krishna was single-handedly doing all these things for them. So Arjuna is recollecting how Krishna was wonderfully doing everything for them. And then he says, I was protected from Shalya, Jayadrath, Duryodhan, so many warriors. My horses were protected when they were drinking water, when I had parked my horses. And then he gives an example. Arjuna says, he compares himself to Prahlad Maharaj. He says, just like Narsingha Dev protected Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna always protected me from all dangers. So like this, Arjuna recollects everything that Krishna did. And he says, alas, how unfortunate I am that it is this Krishna whom I was taking very lightly. I was having joking talks with him. I would sit and sleep on the same bed with him. I would make fun of him. And then he starts lamenting that I took Krishna so lightly. And then he says, Soham Rupendra Rahita Purushottamena Sakhya Prihena Suhrdardayena Shunya Advanru Kramapare Grahamanga Rakshan Gopera Sadbirabaleva Vinirjitosmi. He says that, my dear Krishna, Sakhya Priyena Surda Hridayena Shunya, who was my best friend, best well-wisher, who was most dear to me than my own life, he has left and suddenly everything has become void. And recently, when I was trying to protect the queens of Krishna and I was trying to take them to safety, Gopair Asadvi Rabaleva Vinirjitosmi, I was defeated by infidel coward men. I am Arjuna, the great warrior, and I was defeated by ordinary coward men, and they kidnapped all the queens of Krishna. So this thing is actually shattering for a materialistic person. When he sees that his powers have been withdrawn, it is shattering. Arjuna is now remembering Krishna. He is feeling pangs of separation from Krishna. That is the difference. A materialistic person, because he is trained, modern day philosophy is what? That you can get what you want. So because of this, a person refuses to see the uncontrollable factors which are beyond his control. And then, when he doesn't get that thing, because naturally you might not get, because there are so many factors against you. When he doesn't get those things, he becomes a depression case. He becomes a psychiatric case, because he has been always training himself that I am great, I can get what I want. Like for example, if a child wants to come first in exam, if it's a devotee child, he knows, I have to study hard, he has been trained. Then leave everything to Krishna. But a materialistic person, he is convinced, I can come first, I can get this. So he studies hard. Now, studying hard is not the only criteria for coming first. There are so many factors which are beyond a person's control. Like, to come first, you need to ensure that others don't study so hard in the class. Or, probably the examiner who is correcting the paper, you should not have had a fight with his wife, you should be in a good mood. If he gives less marks, then you can't come first. Or many things like that. Or, the one who is entering the marks in the computer, if he makes a small mistake, gone, everything gone. So what happens at such times is, when a person, he doesn't come first or he doesn't get what he wants, because he has never looked at these factors, he becomes a psychiatric wreck. He goes crazy.
On the other hand, if he gets what he wants, if he does come first, he becomes an egomaniac. He thinks, I am great. I have done it. So either way, this philosophy is disastrous. Because we are overseeing the factors which are not in our control. In fact, there is one interesting pastime of Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking with his disciples, he would encourage debating amongst his disciples. So one disciple said, Prabhupada, science and technology has advanced so much. Prabhupada said, what is the science and technology? Earlier people were dying normally. Now thanks to atom bomb, people are dying faster. So this disciple was not the one to easily give up. So he said, no Prabhupada, but see, we have made aeroplanes. We have so much control. Prabhupada said, what is this aeroplane? One small mistake and everything is finished. Again this disciple was adamant. He said, but Prabhupada, we have little control. And immediately Prabhupada corrected him. Prabhupada said, little control? Little control means no control. It's a very deep point. We might have control over situations, over certain things, but actually we are helpless. Because if Krishna withdraws, then we can do nothing. There is this video of Prabhupada's last moments when he was leaving this body. We have seen that video where Jayadath Maharaj is very close to Prabhupada and is putting this microphone, and Prabhupada is, the last thing that he spoke to the disciples was, he said, everything moving or non-moving is happening by the supreme will of Krishna. This was Prabhupada's consciousness even at the last stage. It was completely, it was pakka, he knew that everything is by Krishna's will, Krishna's sanction. And this point, Arjuna re-emphasizes in the next verse. He says, Tadvai danustai shavasarato hayaste soham rati nrupatayo yata namanti sarvam kshanena tadabhuda sadisha riktam bhasman hutam kuakaradhami voptamushyam. He says, soham rati, I am the same warrior, Arjuna, and it is the same arrows which I had, same gandira I was holding, same ratha I was in, and rato hayaste, the same horses were pulling a chariot. Everything was same. Soham rati nripate yata namanti. I am the same Arjuna to whom all the great kings came and paid obeisances. But yet, sarvam kshanena tadabhut asad. In just one moment, everything became asad because Krishna was not there. And then he gives three powerful examples. He says, bhasman hutam. Without Krishna's sanction, it is like putting butter on ashes. Can we spark a fire? Bhasman hutam kuvakaradham. The second example he gives is of making money by moving a magic wand. Prabhupada would say, if magicians can make money by moving magic wand, then why are they charging for the show? So magicians, so it's not real money. You cannot make money by just moving a magic wand. And ivoptam usham. He says, without Krishna it is like sowing seeds on a barren land. Can you get anything out of it? Nothing. So, like bulbs, we might have the best chandeliers, best bulbs, but if they are not connected to the powerhouse, they cannot do anything. Krishna is the storehouse, he is the original powerhouse who is supplying energy everywhere. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in that purport to this verse, that without Krishna's material civilization, without Krishna's blessing, is simply a child's play. As long as the parents allow, the child can play. But as soon as the parents say stop, as soon as they withdraw, the child has to stop. He can't do anything. In another morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was accompanied by one lady. And this lady started arguing with Prabhupada. She said, Swamiji, you are talking this Krishna, Krishna. That is because you are interested in Krishna. Now, I am interested in economics. So, actually, it all boils down to our interest. Prabhupada was very furious. He said, no, it's not the question of interest. He told her, you are young, you are beautiful. Do you want to become old? She said no. So Prabhupada said, yeah, naturally, you don't want to become old because you want to remain young and attract all the men. But you are forced to become old, you are forced to die. Can you stop it? Can your study of economics stop it? Can you understand why this is happening? How this is happening? This can be understood only this can be understood only when you take shelter of Krishna. Because nature forces us to abandon our abilities at some point of time or the other. So best is to use whatever abilities we have in Krishna's service. Just 6 months ago, in America, there was this major power crisis. All electricity was gone. And there was a blackout. It was interesting to see how people reacted. People went crazy. They were looting everywhere. The cars were running and they were hitting pedestrians. People couldn't imagine life without electricity. They couldn't imagine life without their favorite TV show being on. In fact, one Ontario state prime minister, he went on to declare a state of emergency in the country. If it is a national emergency, there is no electricity. So, the point is, we might think we are not dependent on God, we are independent. But the propensity to be dependent is always there. So if we are not dependent on Krishna, we are dependent on these artificial amenities. And when these things are not there, a person is completely vulnerable. The same tendency is there. It's better to repose or surrender our faith in Krishna. That way we are much more happier, much more secure. And this desire, which the conditioned soul nourishes in his heart to lord over, that is the root cause of his suffering. And that leads to various disparities in the society. And that is what leads to the so-called theories coming up, that survival of the fittest. These things happen because of that. Anyway, in this material world, nobody survives. Even the fittest don't survive because of the time factor. Everybody is crushed. So Prabhupada writes that it is to give facility to all these imitation lords that Krishna's illusory energy creates some stronger species, some weaker species. And there is this karshati, struggle going on for material existence. People are constantly suffering the pangs of birth, death. Now the question arises, what then is the solution? Especially for devotees. Devotees' advantage is that at least devotees know that we think, oh, I am always thinking I am a doer. So we, at least that awareness is there. So what then is the hope for us? How can we overcome this mentality? Because it actually gives little mental satisfaction when we see that we are doing certain things, we are achieving certain things. But actually in the long run, it actually burns the heart. It's a burning burden. So sometimes you might do something to create, like you might do some services, special services. You might have a list of achievements. But that could be, in the conditioned stage, simply to create some kind of an impression or gain some prominence in the society of Vaishnavas. Or it could be for some personal motives, personal reasons. Or it could be to grab the attention of devotees towards ourselves. So these kind of tendencies might be there. So what hope do we have when we are also suffering from this disease of the materialistic people in a subtle way? But the solution Arjuna gives in the same section. How could he achieve his balance of mind? How could he achieve peace? He tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, I am suddenly becoming composed because of remembering Krishna's instructions. He says, Deshakalartha yuktani rittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittam govinda bihitani me. Haranti smaratas chittam. My mind is constantly attracted and is drawn towards Krishna's instructions. Govinda bihitani me. Whatever Krishna told me, I am remembering that. And Srila Prabhupada writes a long purport and says how we should remember the instructions of the Lord and His representatives. That will allay the fears. That is more soothing and more inspiring than any kind of pacification that we get in this material world. I remember when my father went through a bypass surgery a few years ago. Now, the doctor was doing it was a very famous doctor. So my mother was crying a lot because she was feeling it's a bypass surgery. And this doctor, he told her, why are you crying? It's a common operation. My mother said, it might be common, but in our family, first time we are having such a big major operation in our family. First time such a major operation is taking place. So doctor being witty, he said, yeah, first time it's happening, but don't worry, even I am doing operation for the first time. Of course, then we all laughed. We understood it as a joke. The point we understood is, even if we pacify, even if we have a consolation, and even if we assure people, but it's all on the bodily level. Because that Krishna element is not there, it doesn't give long-lasting pacification. It can't really satisfy the soul. And this was the power of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples who went on to preach the message of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Because they took the instructions of their spiritual masters, they could transmit. And what happened to Arjuna when he meditated on Krishna's instructions is narrated by Suta Goswami. He tells, because Arjuna meditated on Krishna's instructions, he became completely purified. Evam chintayato jishno krishna pada saroruham saurdena tigadena shantasid vimalamati. Shantasid vimalamati. Any mala, any contamination, if at all it existed, it was completely purified. Arjuna was completely purified of those contaminations. So remembering Krishna's instructions and the spiritual master's instructions is a great assuaging thing for a devotee. And to substantiate, to build on that, there is another point which emerges in the same section which Prabhupada elaborately writes. That is service to Vaishnavas. When we render service to Vaishnavas, also we can give up this tendency of being a doer. Like when Arjuna is expressing gratitude, he recollects how Krishna saved Mayadhanav. Prabhupada says, no, actually it was not Krishna who saved Mayadhanav. It was Arjuna. Prabhupada explains that Arjuna was being chased, this Mayadhanav, he was being chased by fire god, Agnidev on one side, and on the other side, Krishna was waiting to kill him with a Sudarshan Chakra. So, Maya had no chance to escape. So, he saw fire god coming from behind, he saw Krishna is standing there to kill him. And then he saw Arjuna is standing in the side. So, he ran towards Arjuna and he grabbed Arjuna's feet. And as soon as he took shelter of Arjuna, fire god is ceased from chasing. And Krishna also withdrew his Sudarshan Chakra. So, Prabhupada writes, see, because he took shelter of a devotee, he was saved. So, he says, proper statement he writes, mercy of a devotee is more powerful than mercy of Krishna. And in devotional service, mercy of devotee is more valuable. We should aspire to get mercy of devotee more than mercy of Krishna directly. So this is the power of service to devotees. And then Mayadhanav, he told Arjuna that, Arjuna, you please help me. I want to do some service for you. Now, Maya was a demon. The Prabhupada writes there, who is a demon? Demon is a person who can create supernatural things, who can create wonderful things, but because he is a disturbing element of the society, he is a demon. So the modern scientists who are creating nuclear bombs, they come in this category. They have wild imagination, they have talent. And in another place also, Prabhupada writes that demons, they work very hard without benefit to even themselves. That is the quality of a demon. So Maya was completely, he was very grateful to Arjuna. So he asked Arjuna for service. So in a materialistic person, he also is being chased by the fire of material existence. Burning threefold miseries, he is being battered, bruised, smashed all around. It's a shattering experience. And when he wants escape, he can't escape because there is Krishna in the form of Kala. He is waiting to devour, he is waiting to destroy you on the other side. So the only hope is to take shelter of devotees. And Arjuna, of course, he refused to take any service. He said, I don't need any service. But Krishna, seeing that Arjuna has taken shelter of his devotee, Arjuna told Maya that, okay, you build a Indraprastha palace. So there also Prabhupada writes, that just like Maya was saved by Arjuna, and then he got Krishna's mercy, and then by Krishna's grace he could serve Arjuna. Similarly, by the grace of a devotee one gets Krishna, Krishna's mercy. And then by Krishna's grace one gets a chance to serve the devotees. For the very fact that we are rendering devotional service, we are in association of devotees, that is direct intervention of Krishna in our lives. It is Krishna's causeless mercy that has given us a chance to be in this association and render actual service. So when we meditate on these two points of remembering the spiritual master's instructions and rendering service to Vaishnavas, we can also overcome this tendency of being the doer and perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.